Well, it sounds like you're feeling better. I still have this cough going on, and I hear you coughing too, but how are you feeling overall?
I'm feeling way better, but I'm not the one that had COVID and double ear infection.
Hey, I'm a little special, you know?
I'm glad you're alive today.
No, everyone's getting hit with getting sick, and it always annoys me because I'm like, it's summer, so I feel like there shouldn't be it, but it gets me every year. I'm always surprised.
It's like and allergies that are going around right now.
No, and I totally thought it was allergies. So I was all chill. I was like, oh, it's allergies. And the next day I woke up and I was like, I'm dying. Because I am the biggest, whiniest baby when I'm sick. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, that really helped us kind of determine today's episode, which I'm really excited about.
It sure did. I love this idea that we are not going to be doing any editing. I mean, we're going to be talking about perfectionism. So why edit? Why not just be the most authentic selves we can be?
Yeah. So with that, we're literally going to be talking about perfectionism, and this is going to be a raw episode. We're not going to edit. We're not going to structure it at all. We're just going to let it fucking flow and see what happens. And I just love that we came up with this idea, like kind of when we were sick, because we were like, you know, we couldn't record when we wanted to record, and then we couldn't record again. And then we were kind of like, why don't we just like do it and do what works best for us and just like see what the hell happens. And I'm actually like really excited about that. So maybe we'll keep this going.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see if we like learn something new about our style and our process. It's going to be really cool. And I'm excited as well because it ties into what we're going to be talking about today so much, because my voice, it doesn't sound quote unquote right or how it usually does. And I was like, oh my God, it's not going to sound good. But oh my gosh, when you realize you don't have to be perfect, all that pressure goes away. And I'm super excited and not even worried about it even more anymore.
When you realize that perfectionism is just a concept that they've created to help try to control us. Yes. How much freedom? How much freedom? All right. I think with that, are you ready?
I think so. Okay. What do I say? Chin. Hello, hello, and welcome to We've Got It All Wrong. I'm Sam.
And I'm Che, and we're two queer millennials navigating through all that is wrong with society and leaving you with ways to be your own catalyst for change. Get angry, cry, heal, and take action with us as we discuss today's unhumanistic culture. And as we said, we're starting with perfectionism. No structure, no topics to go through. Let's kick it off.
Okay, well, we got to talk about what perfectionism is, I think, because there's a lot of different, I think, scopes that perfectionism touches, right? I mean, we're talking personal, cultural, societal, and just global. We have all these pressures when it comes to perfectionism. And when we really think about it, and what we've been seeing a lot lately when it comes to like our social deconstruction is that perfectionism is a social construct. So that's what I think our main definition that we can be working with here is it's something that we as a society have created to meet these standards of what is good, of what is right, and we're pressuring all of each other to meet that as well in order to meet those standards and follow that social construct.
I think it's so funny because we've seen these phases of like flawlessness. I don't know if you remember seeing that in like makeup ads and things like that. Yes. And like now we're kind of moving towards this phase of flaws are beautiful, which is really great to see, but it's so true because perfectionism is made up, as with anything is in the human art. We made this up. And when you start thinking about who makes it, you really start like trying to figure out where your own standards come in, because I'm like, okay, you know, it has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. And then if you deconstruct it, right? And you're like, well, what does perfect mean for this thing that I'm talking about? And who created that? And like, what standard is that? You kind of realize that there like isn't one. It's like unspoken.
Exactly. And something that I really learned in college, or at least it soaked in, because I'm a communication theorist. Like that's what I studied. And with that, I learned that I was an interpretivist. And when I learned what that was, it helped me so much because we live in a world where we are told that there's one right way. And that's to keep us in control. You know, that's 100%. To keep us exactly where the higher powers and those in authority want us to be. Because if we start losing faith or the connection we have into these standards that we've been raised with, that's when, you know, disorder starts to happen. People start questioning what's going on and why we're doing these things. And so once you realize there is no one right way, that relieves so much more pressure. It relieves so much pressure because not only are you not meeting just one standard, you also have that freedom to be like, what is it with me that I want? What path do I want to take instead of taking the path that's already been laid out for you?
Yeah, I think if there's anything that I've learned recently, it's that there is like so many different avenues that you can still get to the same goal. It's something that I've been working on too in my perfectionism, in my deconstruction of perfectionism, as we would say. Because I think that the way that I've gone through life thus far, especially being so like career driven and everything having to do with like climbing the corporate ladder, I've always just believed, like you said, that everything has to be done a certain way. Like I have to go to college. I have to get a master's degree after that. I have to like do X, Y, and Z things in this certain manner. And it's kind of funny because we talked about that in our last episode, yeah. Right? Like turning 30 and like having to do everything before 30. But I'm learning now that it's like, oh wait, I can make my breakfast differently and it still tastes delicious. Like it, to the smallest matter, it doesn't have to be the way that like we've been taught. And I mean that in a wide variety of things, not just in your career or in your body, but like with anything, perfectionism shows up everywhere.
For sure. And like what you were saying, things are changing. So if we're seeing what our ideals of perfectionism changing, then were they actually ever perfect? Mm-hmm. So I think that deconstructs it right there, that no, there is no such thing as perfectionism. And I really liked what you said about the flawlessness thing. And I'm going to go ahead and toot my horn with Gen Z again. I love them. I love what they're doing. And something that I noticed is their beauty standards are completely changed. Like height was so big, even just like a few years ago. Now it's all about the natural beauty. It's not about perfect eyebrows, and which has encouraged me to like grow mine out because I kind of want to see what I'm working with. And it's been a while since I've had like pure bushy eyebrow.
And you want to be able to have them when you're older. My mom said because she did hers so much that she like doesn't have eyebrows anymore. So yes, I support. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, my mom taught me to pluck so I could have that shape forever. And I never once thought like, well, what if I want a different shape? So now I just let my body do its thing. And the same thing with, I think we talked about it in a couple episodes ago, or with body image, when our standards of beauty are changing. There is no one perfect body because we all have a different type of body and there's no way to meet one standard for all of us.
Yeah. I think when we talk about perfectionism, body image is one of the top ones. I think in my mind, it's body image and like career probably for me, you know, my journey. But I see this in a lot of my friends as well. And so I love that we are seeing those changes when it comes to the body standards and the idea of like what you're supposed to look like. I know like filters are still a thing and all that, but right. You are seeing this like change in pattern of how people are intrigued more with the authentic self, and they're intrigued more with the mistakes, and they're intrigued more with, oh wait, you're doing it in a way that I've never seen done before. I'm loving that this is coming out. I think it's just starting, but it is an attack on perfectionism if we think about it. And I'm like obsessed with that because
attack away,
literally, right?
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned filters, and I want to share a story real quick. So I think a lot of perfectionism is tied to generations, and they each have their own different things that they strive for as well, and how that's impacted how we communicate, whether especially with media. So my partner always used filters, and they only just recently started to be like, hey, I really want to get comfortable with not mm-hmm. using a filter. And when they stopped using filters, they were like, is that my face? It got to the point where they didn't even recognize their face in photos because they were so used to the filters.
Wow.
And I thought that was so huge. And I think that was like an impact that I needed to see to be like, oh, here it is. Here's what the issues that are this obsession with filters and perfectionism is causing, to the fact that you forget what your own face looks like in photos.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad for them. However, it's an awakening. And I love that you brought this up. Oh, there was a cough coming on. I love that you brought this up because I was literally thinking about that this morning. You know, I've been on like this hippie holistic path, and I'm actually changing my brand on social media. I just changed it today, actually, from, you know, I was focusing on a certain type of thing and really only using my social media for posting about my life, like most of us usually do. And, you know, I did that. I only used the filters. I would take a million boomerangs to get the right angle to make sure I looked skinny enough. I remember like sitting in my room, like doing that, like so much, like a few years
ago.
And I'm having this experimentation period because now I'm rebranding myself to be this like authentic hippie expanded consciousness person. And I have to get used to recording myself. And like it not having to be perfect and just like putting it out there and being okay with it, which is like has never happened in my 30 years. And so it's really bizarre how much I've gotten so used to doing the filters and doing those things. And I was thinking this morning as I was washing my face, and I was like, what might it look like? Or like, just what if I never wore makeup ever again? And I had this daydream play out in my head. Or somebody at work was like, oh, you look like a guy. It was a man, of course. I don't know who. I probably just made it up in my head. It was like, oh, you look really tired today. And I said, no, that's just my real face. You just get used to people wearing makeup so much that you don't know what people look like. So I cannot believe you just said that because it was not a coincidence. That was just like such an aligned story that you just shared.
Yeah. And it's so true. Especially like with your journey, which I am so in love with, like that's no surprise to you, but it is such a good journey. I love because you're also an agent for change. Like we talk about how like we want to be our own catalyst for change. And how do we do that? Well, we need to, especially those who have a platform and are engaging with an external sphere here,
right.
We have that opportunity to right out of the gate change how we're portraying ourselves or what we're putting out there. And I think this is something that we'll see more often, and we're already seeing quite a bit, but the more natural, and when I say natural, like wear your makeup, do what you want, do what makes you happy. Makeup's art. But I think the difference is realizing that you don't have to, and that it should be for enjoyment. Like it should be something you want to do, not something you have to do, which isn't like this new revelation or anything, but we need those reminders. Because we get so lost in the sauce of social media and all the trends and everything that we think that we need to do to be presentable, when just being you is presentable enough.
And also trying new things is not in the realm of perfectionism. Like there's not going to be a standard in all these new things that we're in this day and age that we're doing. And yeah, I loved what you were saying because makeup is definitely art. And in my case, makeup shouldn't make you any more professional. Right?
That's the connection.
Moving right into careers and perfectionism, because we see this so much. And I think that that's the problem right now with a lot of perfectionism is like people trying to be perfect for work and climb the ladder, and be perfect and have the perfect credentials and all that stuff. So perfect segue. But it's tearing people apart right now, especially with the way that the world is going and the way that, you know, we're trying to be authentic with who we are and bring our whole selves to work and stuff like that. Perfectionism in the workplace is a culture change that I honestly don't see changing for a very long time, and why, you know, it's really important for those of us that are in the corporate world to be that beacon and to, you know, practice not being perfect, and it's going to be okay.
Absolutely. Because it always ends up being okay. And dude, I'll tell you, once I started my current job, like probably like the first 6 to 8 months, I was like, you know, fresh out of college. I was like, ooh, I'm corporate bitch. I gotta look a certain way. You know, every time I'm on camera, I am posed, ready to go. And then I eventually got too tired to continue to do that.
You got burnt out? Oh.
Just a little bit. Like, I didn't want to waste an hour of sleep just to put on my makeup and do my hair and throw on an outfit when I'm working from home. You've seen me at work. I look like this when I come on camera. Well, you look stunning. You look like a goddess.
You look like a goddess. Who are COVID? Oh, who?
My God.
Beat his ass to the curb. Flawless.
I did. Okay. I did. Right, with this face. I come on camera. I got my sweatshirt. Now I call it business professional because I put my sweatshirt backwards. So you can't see like the print. So it looks like I'm just wearing a black sweatshirt, but on the back, I got a party going on. And then like my hair always looks bad on Zoom anyway, because the background's blurred. So I'm just like, it's curly. It looks like no matter what I do, it's not going to look good anyway. So I'll run my fingers through it. That's cool. And no makeup, because I don't want mascara in my eye and I don't want to start crying in the middle of a meeting. And I know that's going to happen, just so someone could be like, ah, oh, they look professional today. I'm like, nah, I'm doing my work. I'm doing my work. And that's making me professional.
I love what you said about not wasting time in the morning, because I hate that. Mm. Like, don't get me wrong. I love like getting dressed up for like a wedding or something and having to like curl my hair and like trying a new style, but most of the times I end up having like an anxiety attack because it's not perfect.
Oh my God, yes.
The way that I want, and then I'm late and then I'm sweating, and it's like not worth the experience that I'm about to like ruin, right? It's like, I don't know if that makes sense. It's not worth.
Yeah, you can't start your day being frustrated because you can't reach perfectionism when it's not something you can reach anyway.
And it's not how I want to live my day. Like, I don't want to remember that day of that big event being so flustered and having to like feel like I needed to like drink so much to like calm my nerves, because I like literally couldn't look the way that I thought I needed to look in this perfectionist mindset, right? When what's really important is like how you know how your experience was and how much of a memory that you made with the people that you love. And it's not, we've talked about this before, but like people are not going to like love you any less for not meeting a certain standard. And if they don't love you as much, then
let's reevaluate.
Let's reevaluate. So I think perfectionism it's kind of having like a downfall right now.
Oh, it is. And I love this downfall that I'm seeing. Like, I don't want to wish downfalls on anybody, but this one, I'm cheerleading. And I don't want to like say that I've been this huge catalyst for change at my current job, but I, at least something that I hope that is coming out of the people that I have meetings with who see me the way I am at work, that they feel that I am at least someone comfortable that they can be themselves around. Like, I've noticed that some people who before, like, they were always poised or they didn't have their camera on, they'll come on camera just being their true selves with me at least, or in meetings. And I'm like, let's broaden that out. Like, I'm super glad I can be a safe space for people where they feel comfortable doing that. But I'm very excited for when that becomes something that's a little bit more out there, like not just within the world, but like just within the company I'm working for.
No, I love that, because it only takes like one experience, you know, if you never know until you try type of thing, especially if you have a perfectionist mindset, right? Because if you're putting yourself in this box and you think that you always have to act this way or do this way to get what you want or to get to the outcome that you want, you're never going to find out if it's okay. So what I've started to do, because we started going into the office 2 times a week, yuck, gross. But I don't have any professional clothes left. And then that led me to like, what is professional attire anyway?
Exactly. Oh, we have to get to that. Keep going. Oh my God.
But I started wearing my hippie jumpsuits with like a little cardigan over it and just like a little bit of mascara. And guess what? Guess what happened?
Did people freak out?
Nothing happened.
Oh my God, no way.
Nothing happened. Everything was fine. Nobody had a standard of me. literally. So I just think sometimes we create these scenarios in our head too of what perfectionism is. And most of the time it's really not matching other people, right? Like it's not matching what you're striving for or who you're trying to impress. I just feel like I hear these stories so much where it's like the opposite. It's like what you're trying to do is like the opposite of what needs to be done for you to get what you want or for you to align to what you need.
Exactly. Because what is perfectionism? It's not for you. It's for everyone else.
Nothing. It's fake.
Yeah. And trying to, the amount of time I've wasted, I think is what I want to say here is like looking back, especially like, oh my gosh, like when you're growing up as a teen, and you don't really get to have those conversations with yourself because you don't know any better. Cause like you're just looking at those standards and what your peers are telling you and what your parents are telling you. And then once you're able to shake that off a little bit, that's when that self-exploration and growth really comes in. And I think the earlier you can really ditch that perfectionism mindset, the better.
I agree. And once you ditch it, you can really start, like you said, becoming more self-aware of what you really like and not just the standard that was put out there and you decided that you needed to follow. I love that. I love that because once you ditch it and you realize I don't have to abide by this for whatever the scenario is, you could have 100 different scenarios of perfectionism a day, right? If you just ditch it all together, not only can you become more self-aware and realizing like what you actually like and like what's authentic to you, but you can set those more realistic standards for the goals that you're trying to meet and maybe actually obtain them in not so much of a harsh way because you're doing it the way that you need to.
And I think a lot of people will be surprised by the reactions they get or the lack thereof. And that really kind of bing shows you that this time that you've been spending trying to strive for this stuff can be better used somewhere else. And that's awesome. Like I'd much rather be investing my time in my hobbies or my personal endeavors or projects that I want to work on or, I don't know, a craft rather than spending time trying to be what I would assume other people want me to be.
I love that too when we talk about projects because I also just talked to somebody else who's creating content for social media, which you and I have talked about sometimes. I'm still learning how to do content creation. Mm. And I am a perfectionist still. I'm trying to get out of it. So of course, like when I'm posting something and it's like something is like 1 millimeter off, and then somebody, you know, Tay or somebody will be like, I don't think anybody's gonna notice that. I'm like, but I notice it. I'm gonna notice it. Nobody's gonna care. And it's like if it's causing you that much duress and like stress, it's let it go. Let it go. And I bet you it's going to be just fine. Things are off.
And it really is. And also like, it's hard too, like when you're switching mindsets, because I know at work, like there's a certain standard you have to meet, but so it kind of feels like this forced perfectionism. So like when you get out of that and you have to like go back to the real world, your real self, and kind of push back against what you've been doing all day into the personal side, which is not doing that. So that can be hard switching back and forth as well. Yeah. But one thing I do that, and it kind of sounds mean, but I mean this like in the sweetest way because it helped release a lot of pressure off of me. I'm not special. Like, and you're not special, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you are, you know, but like not to the point where people are looking at you every time you go on the street. Like not every single person is snapping their neck to take a look and immediately judging you. You're a person who's walking down the street. You're not that special to where everyone is all of a sudden going to be judging you. So when I say like, I'm not special, you're not special, you're very special to me. But in the grand scheme of things, you can take a deep breath and realize that all this attention isn't on you and you can just do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You just mean like, there's not pressure to it. Like if you think people are thinking about you in that way, they usually just aren't because people are more self-centered, right? It's our human nature to be kind of self-centered. And so it's okay to again, like we talked about, experiment and test different things and see like what the reactions are.
Yeah, exactly.
I think another thing when we talk about how other people view us too is this idea that not only are we making sure that we are deconstructing what perfectionism means to us, but also making sure that we're like checking our friends as well, checking them and checking on them. Because I think that it's really important to keep people in your circle that are also trying to be their authentic self or helping each other try to do that. And if you do have friends that are just perpetuating perfectionism and things of that nature, like have that honest conversation with them, because maybe it's not the environment that you need to be in.
And if you wouldn't mind, what does that honest conversation look like? Like, how are you checking your friends and checking on your friends?
I think an easy one is asking questions, right? If like you see some, your friend doing something, posting something, acting a certain way that you know might not be in their true character, maybe just checking in and being like, hey, like what's going on with that? Is that really what you want to do? Or is it like somebody else? Like what's going on? I think just like having, start with leading questions about it to see if you can help them identify if this is really the way that they want to be doing something, or if it's a standard that maybe they set for themselves that's not healthy for them.
Mm. Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's, I kind of do something similar, but a little bit different. So I'm going to absorb some of what you said in the next time I have an opportunity to. But something I do is kind of similar where I'll like keep an eye. Well, like this sounds like I'm like looking for something. But like when I'm like seeing my friends' posts and stuff, if I see something that kind of like set something off in my mind where I'm like, oh, they don't need to be worrying about that. And again, that kind of sounds like I'm making that decision, but it's just something like that pops my mind. So next time I talk to them, maybe I avoid a certain topic, or maybe I bring something up based on like what I've seen, so that maybe that can open a conversation. Because, you know, a lot of the time having that conversation is really hard and we get really defensive. But creating like a smooth tunnel to those pathways of like how we can open up those conversations and different coping mechanisms and things like that. And with my friends, we're all very open with our communication. Like we'll like straight out of the gate, just be like, hey, I want to have a conversation about how I'm viewing my body right now. Do you have the emotional capacity for that? Like that's how we start our conversations.
Everybody goes so far.
Seriously. So usually those things are pretty easy for me and my friend group, but yeah, no, I think that's absolutely, absolutely important.
I think also to your point of if it's hard to start the conversation, words of encouragement are always great too. Like if you see somebody being way too hard on themselves, like tell them they're beautiful. Tell them that they don't need nobody's. Yeah, they don't need anybody's validation. You know, if you can't have the conversation, can't ask the questions, like start by just encouraging your friends too. And I think that leads perfectly into do that for yourself. You have to really challenge the internal talk and say, you know, like if you catch yourself in like negative self-talk or like, oh, that's not good enough or that's not that, you have to catch yourself. You have to like flirt with that ego a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? Like flirt with it. Like, if I don't know, let's come up with a scenario. If I'm like, oh, this isn't good enough. This isn't a good enough post for you. You have like 3 pimples on there. You'd be like, oh, you care enough about me to look at to see that there's 3 pimples? Oh.
Well, wow, like make a stalking constellation out of them? Oh my, why are you so obsessed with me? Yeah, I see you looking.
Why are you so obsessed with me? Okay, but for real, right? You get the point. Like flirt with the ego a bit, change that internal self-talk. And seriously, once you ditch the perfectionism, start to watch the magic come alive.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just watch it.
And then I think I want to say like, while you're watching that come alive, don't apologize. Like never say you're sorry for ditching other people's expectations of you. Just go for it. Don't apologize. Don't think that you're not worth it to explore. No, just go hard. Go at it and enjoy your life to the fullest, being your most authentic self.
Oh my God, I love that. Don't apologize for trying new things.
No.
I love this idea of we can try new things, get new hobbies, be creative as adults, because we lose that a lot as we get older. Mm. And I think maybe that's where a little bit of the perfectionism comes out too, is because we are put so much more into box the older that we get. and that we aren't taught that we can be kids, like, again, as adults. You can, like, start new hobbies at 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and whatever you want. And so if you can open yourself up to the magic, like we just said, and you can try new things, that, you know, the perfectionist mindset might actually just go away, because you no longer have a standard. You're like forging the way forward for standards, pretty much, in whatever you're doing for yourself. So, oh, I love that.
Put a ring on it. Beep.
I just have to say that I was a little nervous for this episode because we were going wild. We were running rampant through that wilderness. But I think this was my favorite one yet. I think it was the most authentic one of us yet. Episode 4.
It feels really legit.
And it does.
And oh, big surprise. Honestly, this is like easier than our other ones that we've recorded because there was less pressure, less structure, and we just went for it.
It's easier than the ones that we tried to structure from beginning to end. What do you mean? Perfectionism.
I know. Oh my God. So, okay. So this ended up doing what we were hoping, which is just like, give us that little push of like, hey, you're doing great with what you're doing. You don't need the extra behind the scenes fixing. We can just go for it.
We don't need the behind the scenes fixing of our life. I loved that point that you just made. You don't need to go behind the scenes and make sure everything is perfect for you to show up for yourself and others in the way that you want to. Oh, I love that. Thank you for ending.
I like
what
you added at the end there too.
I love that you said that because it's so true. Just like we did this episode, we dumped perfectionism. We literally like said, we're not doing it this time. And look what happened. So I'm obsessed with that. And just want to say that I appreciate you so much. And I'm glad that you're feeling better. And I'm excited for us to continue in this journey as well as our true authentic selves. Oh,
and Che, I appreciate you. Just from the moment I met you, you've just been a ray of sunshine. And you've put my life, I don't know, a new perspective. I look at things differently. And just, I really, really appreciate you, Che.
Oh my God, stop it. Who are you?
I can't stop at all. Looking at your sweet face, me stop? No.
Don't gas me up. I'm going to have to fly out there, walk in the door, and give you XOXOs. Stop it.
Oh my God. No, next time we see each other in person, people are going to have to watch out. We running and screaming.
The energy is just going to be so phenomenal, as it is on our podcast always. So thank you.
Thank you. And fuck perfectionism.
Fuck it.
Thanks for joining us today on this episode of We've Got It All Wrong. Follow us on Instagram at We've Got It All Wrong and check out our link tree located in our bio for ways to connect and learn more. You can also sign up for our email list so we can keep in touch and send resources directly to you on ways to be your own catalyst for change. Take a screenshot of this episode and tag We've Got It All Wrong with your thoughts so we can hear what's up from you.
Whatever platform you're using to listen to us today, please follow, subscribe, and rate this episode so that we can build our community of societal rebels and spread the knowledge on how to take back control of how we show up in the world. And remember, practice makes progress. Doing your best is the best that you can do. And fuck society standards.
Bye.